Are you ready?
Looking like Mother Nature could wreak a little havoc on Ole Miss's first official visit weekend of the stretch run to National Signing Day, as the forecasters, we're not talking about the crystal ball forecasters here, we're talking about the real deal meteorologist forecasters, pretty convinced right now that Oxford's going to get hit with some sort of snowstorm on Friday. I've seen everything from 3 to 6 inches. What in the world's that got to do with recruiting? Well, these kids coming in this weekend, and there aren't a whole lot of them. They have to fly in, some of them. Some of them have to drive in. And, you know, could the wintry weather affect their ability to get to campus this weekend? We don't know. We're just going to have to wait and see, play it by ear. Set to come in this weekend for official visits, two top wide receiver targets. Both of them would have to fly in. That's Trey Nixon from the state of Florida and Courtney Davis from the state of Texas. You would expect both of those guys would be flying in most likely to the Memphis airport. So we'll have to keep an eye on what the weather does there. And then you have the problem of driving from Memphis to Oxford if the roads are icy or snowed over, you know. So that's something we're watching right now. The other visitors coming in this weekend, three commits set to go ahead and take their officials this weekend. They are North Panola athlete Justin Connor, Lexington, Tennessee linebacker / defensive end Tarikas Tisdale, and Sandy Creek, Georgia offensive lineman Chandler Tuitt. So, you know, and we've been in this situation before, guys, as Dave and Michael are also on the podcast this morning, where, you know, the weatherman's calling for a blizzard and it doesn't happen. So, you know, I guess we're all just in kind of the wait and see mode. So far, there have been no travel cancellations for any official visitors this weekend that I am aware of. Again, we'll just kind of play that by ear. But hello and welcome to this edition of the Rebel Rise Live. Joining us a little bit later in this podcast will be a guy who is a special friend of mine, Trey Stallings, the former Ole Miss offensive lineman, NFL offensive lineman, now the director of player engagement for the Tennessee Titans. Trey is a recruiting junkie. He follows everything going on with Ole Miss and recruiting, and can really offer an interesting perspective. And I'm going to get him to kind of break down this Ole Miss offensive line class coming in 2016 this morning when he joins us, as he's certainly more than qualified to do that. Dave, Michael, how are you guys this morning?
I'm doing great, David. Like y'all, trying to stay warm and, you know, a little bit further east from y'all, we are getting that snow prediction, and I don't know how things are there. Do y'all still get the freak out of, you know, go buy bread and milk, you know, when a snowflake is forecasted?
My wife went to Kroger last night. It took her 2 hours to go in and out, and I think everybody in Lafayette County was at the Oxford Kroger last night, and probably the same could be said for a Larson's Cash Saver right down the road there, Michael. I think that's just a Southerner's typical reaction. I always marvel at the heat wave stories in the summer that the national news does up north, and I'm like, man, you know, it's like that every day down here in the South, and yet this is national news. Well, we're kind of like that way with the snow, I suppose. You know, we're not used to it. Folks up north kind of giggle a little bit when we freak out when there's 3 inches of snow on the ground, because, you know, I don't know about you, Michael, but I don't have any snow chains in my garage.
No, I
pretty much the only pants I have. I have some jeans, some khakis. I don't have long johns, so I maybe have a pair of track pants like I'm a retired Italian man, but that's about it. I'm not nearly prepared for winter.
Well, I got to ask you this now, since you just moved back from Florida to God's country. Did you get into wearing the jorts down there in Florida at all?
No, I can say that I kept Ole Miss looking good down there. But there were some interesting choices of clothing down in the Keys. There was one man who he'd been married to his wife for about 3 years, and every single day he goes running for I think it's 4 miles. He's in his 60s or 70s, and he goes running with a red bonnet on every single day. No shirt, and that was something to get used to, because that is not out of the ordinary down there.
Sounds like a bucket list experience for you, Michael, to be able to experience that. So here we are. We're less than 2 weeks away from National Signing Day. And by the way, the early enrollees, all on campus, all reported at 7:30 a.m. this morning for registration, and didn't get off to the smoothest of starts as one commit forgot some stuff, and I won't name who that is, but was on the phone with his dad this morning about, hey, I need this and I need that. So, but nevertheless, how I know that will remain secret. I won't out the recruit in particular, but all eight on the campus, and excited about that group being in here, and now the question becomes, how many of those eight going through spring practice, which starts at the end of February, we're awful close to it, will be able to contribute right off the bat? How many red shirts are in that group? How many will actually see some playing time as true freshmen? That all remains to be seen. It's too early to speculate on that. In all honesty, you just got to see them go through spring, Dave. And, until we do, and you kind of see how they've made this acclimation to the next level, anything other than that is just speculation right now.
You're right. It's speculation. But it is going to be interesting to watch, the spring. Everybody's going to want to hear about or get their eyes on to see, what Shea Patterson does in practice. Will there be, that battle within for Kelly? Shea is a natural competitor, so that will be intriguing, to see him come in and compete. And then, one that just really sticks out to me, David, is your son, Eli. Him getting those reps at center. He got that position raw, in the Mississippi All-Star game. So it will be interesting to see how he contributes in the trenches there at center.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. I know Coach Freeze, Coach Luke have both told him he'll get all the reps he can stand this spring with Robert Conyers not going through spring. Rod Taylor will not be going through spring either, as I believe he is set to undergo surgery this week. He may have already had it on that shoulder. So both of those guys not going to be out there this spring. Michael, last night a little bit of breaking news. Ross Bjork kind of leaks it out that Ole Miss in talks with Baylor about a potential football game in 2020 at a neutral site. How do you feel about that? I mean, I've read some different remarks from fans, and some are like, man, we need to be playing Wake Forest more as our Power 5 opponent or a school like Wake Forest, and not scheduling these giants like Florida State and Baylor, particularly when you play in the SEC and particularly when you play inside the SEC West. Michael, what are your thoughts on that?
It's there's some pros and cons to this that – you can see that the selection committee hasn't really cared about the non-conference so far, given how high they have schools like a Baylor or a TCU that were going out. But I love it. I love the fact that that Ole Miss is scheduling some big time games and that there's big time teams that want to schedule Ole Miss. It definitely speaks to where the program's at right now. The only thing that's sort of sour for me is I would much rather a home and home than sort of a than a neutral site game. It's sort of a dry environment. Going to, you know, Orlando to play Florida State, or there's rumors that the game against Baylor may be in Houston. I would much rather see Baylor come to Oxford one game and then Ole Miss go to Waco. I think that'd be more fun for the fan base and be sort of more interesting. And there's a lot of teasing going out there that SEC teams will only play neutral site games. I'd like to put some of that to bed.
I think that's a good point. But at the same time, it offers these neutral site games, number one, it offers a very good financial hook for both teams that are playing in the game. Also a national stage where, you know, these neutral site games early in the season are often treated like bowl game matchups in terms of television. And, you know, you see more and more of that. I mean, Arkansas, you know, they're playing in Dallas almost every single year now against a non-SEC Power 5 opponent. It's kind of good. I think Ole Miss, for years and years, their fans were treated to their teams playing Memphis and Arkansas State and whatnot on the non-conference side of things. And it is a little bit exciting. You can go back to that Texas series. And of course, that was a home and home. But to be able to mix it up with Texas, and Texas wins in Oxford, Ole Miss wins in Austin, that is something I think that helps build your national brand when you're mixing it up with teams like that. And, I'm all for it. Kind of like you, though, I wish it was going to be played one year in Oxford and one year in Waco, but it looks like it's a one-year deal, possibly, where it's just going to be a neutral site matchup for both squads, and but something to look forward to. But it's in the far-away future, right? And if you don't believe me, most of every single one of these recruits coming in the class of 2016, they won't be here when Ole Miss plays Baylor. So that's how far ahead in the future we're looking, because you're talking about their 16, 17, 18, 19 seasons. I guess the guys in red shirt would still be sticking around for that 2020 season. But, you know, future non-conference games, Florida State next year, and then you got a home-and-home with Cal Berkeley, which I think is intriguing. I like that matchup. Again, it spreads that Ole Miss brand out to the West Coast. And, it's really hard to set back and be critical of anything or any triggers Ross Bjork has pulled during his tenure as athletic director at Ole Miss. And I would venture to say to you that Ross Bjork and how he runs that athletic department has been equally responsible as Hugh Freeze for the turnaround in the Ole Miss football program, because I was here before either one got here. And I'm going to tell you that synergy that Freeze and Bjork have working together, pulling the rope in the same direction. Oh, my goodness, it wasn't that way when Pete Boone and Houston Nutt were in those two positions. And that's made all the difference in the world as far as I'm concerned. And I think as long as that dynamic duo stays in place, there's only going to be bigger and better things happening for this Ole Miss football program. Lots of fun and excitement going on the stretch run to National Signing Day. And by the way, Ole Miss picked up a football commitment yesterday. What's that, you say? Well, he's a walk-on, a kicker out of Pulaski Academy in Little Rock, Arkansas, Justin Charette. He also played wide receiver and defensive back at Pulaski, but I'm not sure he'll be doing any of that at Ole Miss. He's coming to kick. Pretty darn good kicker is Justin Charette. And guys, that's something that often goes unnoticed a lot of times. These guys who walk onto the program, they don't get the headlines that everyone else does, but nevertheless could be ultimately big-time contributors to the success of the program. So So Justin Charette, I've got his film up under today's Rebel Rise if you want to check him out, playing receiver in DB. Also some kicking film, and his Coles Kicking Academy profile is up as well. But Justin Charette, the newest Ole Miss Rebel. Now, begs the question of who's going to be the next commit? Dave, you got any guesses?
Oof. You know, most of your commits are going to be National Signing Day. You know, coming out of these upcoming official visits, it just would not surprise me if there was a commitment. But if you want me to throw a name out there, my best bet right now is a flip, and that would be Missouri commit Royce Newman. I think there's a high possibility that could come before National Signing Day. That's my gut feeling.
And I failed to mention earlier in the podcast when talking about the visitors set to come in this weekend, Royce Newman is one of those. So add him to that list of guys who are supposed to be coming in this weekend. And, Dave, that seems to be the guy that Ole Miss has zoomed in on to close out their offensive line class.
All right, David, we got our special guest, Trey Stallings, calling in. You want to bring him on?
Absolutely.
All right, welcome to the show, Mr. Stallings.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
Trey, thanks for coming on with us today. On such short notice, too, I'm on the phone with Trey begging him to come on last night at 10:30, and he's gracious enough to give us his time this morning. Trey Stallings, the Director of Player Engagement for the NFL's Tennessee Titans, former Ole Miss Rebel great. And Trey, I don't guess anyone's ever a former Rebel, so I apologize for saying that. But we appreciate having you on the show and be able to pick your mind this morning. I know you follow Ole Miss recruiting closely, very, very closely.
Oh, yeah.
So my question to you is, what are your thoughts as a former player to be able to sit back and watch what Hugh Freeze and his staff of assistant coaches are doing at Ole Miss? What does that mean to you as a guy who came here and had some success and your teams were successful when you were at Ole Miss, but Ole Miss fans haven't seen this level of success since the John Vaught era, which means any of us not receiving Social Security right now probably have never seen
it. Yeah, David, I mean, that's a great question. I think I really don't have the words to kind of put into sentences, really, the impact that Coach Freeze has had, you know, at Ole Miss during his short tenure. It really is amazing to see just the level that he's brought the program to. Hats off to the job that him and his coaches are doing to really elevate the program in a way that we really hadn't seen before.
So, Trey, for some of our listeners, if you would, just kind of carry them through your career, coming out of high school, going into Ole Miss, going into the NFL. Can you kind of give us a brief synopsis of your playing career for some of our listeners who might not be as old as I am? But it hadn't been that long ago.
Yeah, so I grew up in a small town called Magnolia, Mississippi, which is south, really bordering the Louisiana line. Chose Ole Miss because of, you know, something that I hear recently in recruiting, just, you know, wanting to do something new within the state of Mississippi. So I joined a class that, you know, highlighted by guys like Chris Spencer and Mike Espy. And so we started something, I think, that was special in, you know, getting really the top guys out of Mississippi to commit to playing at, you know, the flagship. And so that was back in 2001, and it was Oxford that really sold me on Ole Miss. It was the town, it was the city, and the players that are on the roster. Really, I just felt like it was a great place to kind of be for the, you know, next 4 years of my career. And so, started out, I got redshirted as a true freshman, obviously. Wasn't quite ready to take on the task of being an SEC lineman. But after that, really started my redshirt freshman year at left tackle. Played left tackle for 3 years, and then moved over to right tackle my senior year with Robert Lane being the quarterback. And then after that, man, I was fortunate enough, obviously, to start 48 consecutive games for Ole Miss, and I ended up being in first-team All-SEC selection my senior year, which was quite surprising. And then was fortunate enough to be drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs in 2006 in the sixth round. Spent 3 years with Kansas City, and then I finished up my career with Baltimore, actually on the practice squad back in 2009. So was able to secure three years, obviously, with the Chiefs, and then finished up with Baltimore my last year. And now just, you know, working in the front office of the Tennessee Titans. I'm really enjoying what I'm doing by basically empowering and enhancing the lives of guys, and I'm trying to get guys to see their lives outside of football.
And Trey, you left out the part that at one point in your career you were working in the SEC front office as well.
Kind of
tell everyone what you did with the Southeastern Conference.
Well, I was the director of assistant director of championships for the SEC. And I was there for 3 years. Just an incredible experience being able to be around all sports and learn about all sports. I think one thing that we don't get to experience a lot of as football players is seeing how other sports actually kind of work, kind of how their season plays out. It's such a fascinating thing to really be a part of other sports clubs, such as gymnastics or rifle team or, you know, lacrosse or soccer. Well, we don't have lacrosse, but soccer, volleyball. So just to be able to experience those things and see them as they kind of played out throughout the season was exciting.
I got to ask you one question. From your time at the SEC and you're in their office in Birmingham, how many times a day did Nick Saban really come over and make you guys do something? I mean, you hear about it all the time, right?
I mean, I would say that you hear that's just a rumor. Coach Saban never he never came over unless all the other coaches came over.
There is no underground train from Tuscaloosa to Birmingham, rocket train that shoots him to Birmingham in like 10 minutes, and he can be in the SEC office changing things up.
Definitely not. I think, Commissioner Slav obviously did a good job of really being able to, handle that room. Because you had a lot of egos in the room, particularly when you get all 14 head coaches from the SEC in one room together, basically trying to come up with one solution on a given subject. So it was definitely, a really sight for me to see just kind of how, the powers that be, I guess, will come to a decision. And sometimes you think, things are just black and white, but it's not as cut and dry as we can, kind of make it out to be. There are a lot of other factors that goes into a lot of decisions that are made. And I was very fortunate to be actually hired by the current commissioner, Greg Sankey. And so just being under his tutelage definitely gave me great insight on, intercollegiate athletics. And, it was just a fun place to work at. And so, Coach Saban didn't just show up when he wanted to. It was definitely a planned meeting. I think he, obviously had to be out on the road recruiting and coaching and winning championships as they do in Bama.
We have a former NFL offensive lineman on the Rebel Rise live today in Trey Stallings, former All-SEC player at Ole Miss as well, works in the front office of the NFL's Tennessee Titans. So, Trey, I think I would be remiss if I didn't ask you your thoughts on the 2016 Ole Miss offensive line class. Obviously, a really solid group when you factor in that the nation's number one left tackle prospect Greg Little, the number two overall player in the country at one point this year, is part of that class. But can you kind of talk a little bit? I know you are a film junkie. I know you watch film on all these guys because you tell me all the time you do. And so, I mean, your thoughts. You're more qualified than anyone to kind of give your thoughts on what you see, you know, what you like and maybe what you don't like out of those five offensive line commits Ole Miss has at this time.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot to like. I mean, obviously, you got a guy in Greg Little, who's obviously the highest-rated person that we have amongst the offensive line. You look at a guy who really – he excels in his pass protection. I mean, when you look at his film, he has great feet, has a lot of strength, a lot of power coming from his stance, which is really what you want to see in a lineman. You really want to see basically from foot to hip. You know, how's he rolling out his hips? How is he, you know, exploding out his stance? And that's what you see in Greg. I think, you know, when you look at Greg, is he Laramie Tunzel-like? And I think he is. I think at this stage in his career, it'll be interesting to see how he holds up once fall camp rolls around. Kind of how he allows his body to develop from now up until fall camp. Because now, you know, obviously he's not being able to, you know, get into spring ball. I think that's something that we're going to, you know, really have to pay close attention to is how fast he picks up on the college game. Just because, Dave, when you think about it, you know, we say Laramie didn't start. the first four games of the season, but you could tell.
Right.
I remember looking at the Ole Miss Vanderbilt game, and it was a tight game. I won't forget it. And I'm yelling and screaming at the TV, asking Matt Luke, "Why are you putting this freshman in the game? Let Emmanuel McCray stay in the game. Leave the freshman on the sideline." And after his first kick slide, I was like, okay, yeah, let him play. He needs to play the entire game. And so, you know, can Greg Little now come in and be that same caliber of player? I think he can. I think he could, obviously, with the physical traits that he has, he could definitely come in and start from day one. I mean, it's really going to be up to Greg how good he can be. But the next guy, you know, I really want to look at is, you know, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Eli Johnson. Because when you look at Eli, Eli has had great tutelage. You know, I know Eli was working with Terrence Metcalf for a long time, you know, while he was in Oxford. So, I mean, Eli was probably more advanced than any lineman that we have when it comes to knowing sets, knowing, you know, power to our speed ratios. I think the biggest thing Eli will probably need to see is just, you know, being able to adjust to, you know, guys that are as good as him on an everyday basis. So that's the guy that I'm really looking forward to seeing because he's definitely going to have the awareness. I think he's going to have the strength to really come in and contribute early on. So those are two guys that really stand out, and obviously – with, I think, Bryce Matthews from Brentwood, I think Chandler Tewitt, those two guys, they're probably going to need a red shirt just based off of what I've seen on film. I think Chandler is obviously a very athletic guy who could definitely move in space. I've seen him playing tackle in his film, which is, obviously a great trademark to be able to do that at high school and then, you know, let it translate over to college. And then the one guy that has really stood out for me, though, is Jack DeFore. Oh, my gosh. Am I pronouncing his last name right?
Yes, you are. And isn't he a monster? I mean, just
man,
looking at him, he is a monster.
David, this guy is huge. Like, he looks almost 6'7". He doesn't look 6'5". He looks 6'7". So I don't know if he had cowboy boots on with the picture I've seen, but he looks like a giant.
That's
so I'm really
cowboy
interested
boots.
In
cowboy boots, that's an old recruit trick right there. whenever you see kids coming in for visits and everything, you check those feet out and see who's wearing cowboy boots, because they're trying to give themselves an extra inch, inch and a half with those heels. But it never works. By the time they make it in there to the height chart and the scales, the boots are off their feet. But Jack DeFore doesn't need to wear boots, I can tell you that. And I'm looking forward to him, and I've gotten to know him a little bit. And, man, let me tell you, a great kid. He is absolutely – Ole Miss fans are going to love Jack DeFore. And that whole group is really looking good, Trey. And if they can add Royce Newman, and you and I talked a little bit about Royce Newman last night, and I know you've been spying on some film on him. Royce Newman has he's got an upside that's unbelievable. Would you agree with that?
Man, I would totally agree with that. I mean, this is when you look at film, when you particularly with offensive linemen, what else? What other positions have they played? I think that sometimes can be a key indicator, just of, you know, because a lot of times when you look at linemen, how athletic are they, is one of the bigger questions. And particularly when you're looking at tackle with, you know, so many guys that are tweeners, so many guys that are, you know, 6'4", 240 pounds, running a 4.5, 4.6 40. You got to have somebody on the edge that could be athletic enough to get out there and block him. And I think Royce is the prototypical guy coming in as a young guy that could basically be able to transform his body young. And then by the time he's a redshirt freshman, a redshirt sophomore, you're looking at a dominant offensive lineman. I think that's really what Ole Miss will be getting. You know, if Royce decides to decommit from Missouri and commit to the Rebs, I think his ceiling is so high. It's just a matter of, you know, him really getting with Mac and honing in on his offensive line skills, because the athletic ability is definitely there. When you see a guy that's that big and can move around the way that he does, and, you know, he plays with a mean streak, even at tight end in the run game. So hats off to the coaching staff for finding the guy that looks like that and can move like that.
I was talking to Hugh Freeze on Friday, and I know he's excited about this class. I know he is very, very excited about this signing class. But Dave, I don't want to hog the entire interview with Trey Stallings, and we couldn't have anybody better to break down this offensive line than Trey, and we're so lucky to have him on this morning, these O-line recruits. But, Dave, I'll hand it off to you. Any questions for Trey?
Yeah, I do have a question for Trey, and I do want to start. Trey, thank you for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yes, sir. My question for you is, you know, you were talking about Greg Little, Laramie Tunsil, you know, getting into that freshman, you know, Laramie Tunsil getting starts at a freshman. What is the mindset, you know, as a young athlete? You've been there before. What is that mindset, you know, is it more mental or physical to get ready in such a quick period of time?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think, you know, it's all for me. You know, I had a younger brother who was basically a redshirt freshman at Kentucky, and the one thing I always told him is it's about the approach. And if you can mentally approach the game of football like nothing else, I think you can set yourself up for future success. I think because mentally, as you prepare yourself mentally, the physical part will come, because obviously people's bodies, particularly young guys, their bodies adapt, they grow, they change. But it's the mental edge that you need in order to push yourself to be the best, to go out before practice, after workouts, to really start honing in your skills. And I think the more that guys really take those initiatives and use them, I think the better off they'd be. Because most of the time, particularly when you get to this level, it's not about really a physical strength. It's about the mental capacity that you have to learn the game, and then to, you know, obviously take the skills that you have and make the best of them.
Trey, sitting quietly for the last 15 minutes or so is Michael Quirk. And, Dave, I didn't mean to cut you off as we kind of referee these interviews blindly. I'm not looking at Dave, and Dave's not looking at me,
right.
And Michael's not looking at me. But Michael Quirk has been silent now for about 20 minutes. So, Michael, any questions for Trey?
Yes, I was as an offensive lineman, you don't get all the love that a quarterback or a receiver gets. But as a former guard at Ole Miss and in the NFL, and I don't want to throw any coaches under the bus, but it may be a guy whose name rhymes with, I don't know, Luston Krutt, we'll say, didn't focus on building depth in the trenches at offensive line, defensive line. How refreshing is it for you to see sort of Hugh Freeze and the staff building through the trenches, and what does that mean to a football team?
Man, it means everything to a football team. Obviously, everything starts and ends with the offensive, defensive lines. And so to see, you know, how Coach Freeze is really targeted, you know, high-profile guys that can, you know, obviously come in and have an instant impact, but also see other guys who you think can develop over time, has really been refreshing. I mean, and you've seen, I mean, when you had, you know, previous coaches that came in, and that was the one thing that they tried to do. And when you look at the talent, as David pointed out with an article, has Ole Miss become O-line U? When you look at what Ole Miss has produced over the years, within the offensive line, I mean, it just goes to show you that, you know, that position in itself is so vital, so important. And so to see Hugh Freeze continue to recruit high-quality guys and to really put emphasis on them is really, you know, just a testament to what he believes in and what we all believe in, what we see each and every day, each and every Sunday, each and every Saturday. You got to have a good line of play. If you don't, you're going to struggle.
Absolutely. You saw that I was watching, I forget what, it might have been the NFL Network the other day, and someone on there was talking about Laremy Tunsil and said that he could start at left tackle for 27 of 32 NFL teams. Do you think that he's that talented of a guy, or is that overselling it?
Nah, he's that talented of a guy. I mean, shoot, man. Like I said, when I seen Laremy Tunsil take his first kick slide, literally, I remember that night, I called Terrence Metcalf and I said, Metcalf, I said, that guy will be a first-round draft pick in 3 years. He's that good. And let me say this, backtrack. So when you talk about offensive line and defensive line play, when you look back at the Sugar Bowl, think about what Ole Miss was able to do with a three-down lineman look against Oklahoma State. They literally terrorized the quarterback with three-down linemen. And so that just goes to show you that, you know, both lines play a big difference, because obviously Oklahoma State couldn't block us, but the defensive line of Ole Miss was wreaking havoc, or wreaking havoc.
Dave, I think you had another follow-up question for Trey before I shifted it to Michael. I feel like I'm moderating the Republican presidential primary debate here in terms of flipping it back and forth to everyone. But, Dave, back to you for your follow-up
to
Trey.
Well, Trey, my follow-up question, he answered that question in with one of Michael's questions, because I wanted your perspective, Trey, on the debates that we've had about is Ole Miss becoming O-line U. So thank you for answering that.
Yeah, I mean, shoot. I mean, definitely. You look at the guys that are on the offensive line now, you have definitely a top five pick, if not the top pick in the draft. And then obviously you would have another guy in Fon Cooper who would definitely be drafted, just, you know, reading the reviews that he's had throughout his week at the East-West Shrine game. So, You know, and when you look at what Fawn Cooper did, you look at the fact that he moved from right tackle to left tackle throughout the entire season. That's value. That was added value from him for him, because obviously as the NFL works, you only get to dress 7 offensive linemen, sometimes even 6 offensive linemen during the game. And so to have the ability to come in and be able to play both spots is critical. And so that was something that, you know, Fawn did. He probably didn't even realize, you know, what he was doing, but he definitely opened some eyes up.
Trey, I don't know if you caught Bradley Sowell's tweet Sunday night after the Cardinals advanced to the NFC Championship game, but he pointed out something that's very, very interesting in getting back to this whole O-line U mantra. Sunday's NFC Championship game, and Bradley pointed this out, generally speaking, each team will carry 3 tackles into a game. In Sunday's NFC title game, 3 of the 6 offensive tackles playing in that game are Ole Miss guys, himself, mm-hmm. Bobby Massey, and Michael Ward. That's 50% of the tackles from Ole Miss in the NFC title game. And that just goes to, I think, underscore a little bit more about the fact that Ole Miss has put out some quality offensive linemen in the last decade and a half. And it certainly looks like they're going to continue to do so as they keep bringing in top-rated guys. Now, nationally, Ole Miss not known as offensive line U. When somebody throws that out there, you know, your mind may wander to Nebraska or some Big Ten school like Michigan, perhaps. But you know what? You can't argue with the facts. There's only one set of facts, and the fact is that Ole Miss has started to produce some of the top big man talent in the NFL, and it's certainly gratifying to see. Well, Trey, before we let you go, any NFL Tennessee Titans news you can share with us at all?
It depends on what you're asking, Dave, to be honest with you. I think, you know, obviously we're going through a lot of change. We just hired John Robinson as our new general manager. He was definitely a guy that had been in New England for 12 years, and he was with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for 2 years prior to coming here. And so definitely excited about his vision and what he has in store for the organization. And obviously we took the interim tag off of our head coach, Mike Mularkey. Very excited to see what Coach Mularkey is going to do. Just because when you really look at our season and how it went last year, it wasn't a great season. But we had guys that battled each and every day, each and every game. They practiced hard. They worked hard. And so it was very frustrating for us as an organization to watch how hard our guys, really laid it on the line and then didn't end up with the results that we all wanted. But Coach Mularkey, what he was able to do in that short period of time was really transform the mindset of our team. And I think, you know, given a fresh start with his own coaching staff, he'll be able to do some exciting things. We have a very young team, but a very great quarterback in Marcus Mariota. And I wish that everybody could meet this young man, and just to see the type of person he is very refreshing.
That is awesome. Now, before I let you go, you've given us so many words of wisdom this morning. I want to give you some. Now, I don't know what the weather's like in Nashville right now. Is it snow on the ground already in Nashville?
A little bit. We got a little bit still left.
I'm just thinking back to a guy I know 4 or 5 years ago who was leaving the SEC office in Birmingham to go home in the middle of a snowstorm. And if I remember right, he had to hike it on in that last leg to get to the house. So, it's supposed to hit hard tomorrow, Trey. So if you wake up in the morning and that white stuff is flying, maybe just call in and say, guys, I ain't coming today because I don't want my brother walking the interstate of Nashville trying to get home tomorrow.
Man, boy, don't start with boy. That was a tale to be remembered, David.
I'm laughing with you. I'm not laughing at you because Oxford got hit as hard, almost as hard as Birmingham that day. And me and Terrence Metcalf, we were hiking ourselves trying to get home the day that that storm hit. And I talked to you that night, and you had basically the same experience. But so mm-hmm. I'm staying in tomorrow, bro. You know, if it's 1 inch of snow, I'm staying in. I'm not going to get trapped out. And I don't want to talk to you tomorrow and you say, man, I was hiking down I-40 and couldn't make it up the hill or whatever. But, Trey,
yeah, you're right
cannot,
about that, Dave. I'm going to take the same advice, my man.
There you go. There you go. Well, we cannot thank you enough for coming on with us and being so gracious with your time this morning. And best of luck to the Titans. And man, just want to tell you how proud all of us are in Rebel Nation of what you've done post your Ole Miss playing career. And, and I'll tell everyone out there, you won't meet a finer person than Trey Stallings. And, Trey, we're honored to have you on this morning. And thank you, my friend. And stay warm and stay safe.
All right, you do the same. Appreciate you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Trey.
Tennessee Titans front office guy Trey Stallings joining us on the Rebel Rise Live this morning. And, guys, I'm going to tell you, you couldn't get that insight that he offered us on this offensive line class anywhere else. I mean, you know, this is a guy that played the position at Ole Miss. He played the position in the NFL. He's still heavily involved in football. He knows what he's talking about. And, Michael, he offers some promising words for this young offensive line class that Ole Miss is bringing in this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And he wasn't just focused on Little. I mean, he was hitting on everyone.
Had some nice words to say about Johnson and Tuitt and Matthews and DeFore. And I share his sentiments. I think that this is this is as good of an O-line class. There's a high ceiling of talent, but there's also a really high floor with every guy in this class, and I was definitely sharing his sentiments about that.
Yeah, and a high floor, high ceiling, sometimes people ask, what do you mean by saying high floor? Well, a high floor guy is a guy that you think is going to be able to come in and really contribute immediately. High ceiling guy is that guy that's going to come in and he's probably going to be a red shirt, but by the time he leaves, it's going to be a beast. So that's kind of that terminology right there. You know, Trey was a great player here at Ole Miss and certainly enjoyed a great NFL career. And honestly, when I say he's one of the finest guys you'll ever meet, I promise you that. I just hope he doesn't try to drive in the snowstorm tomorrow because that's a true story. Trey Stallings had to hike it home from the SEC office in Birmingham a few years ago. And I gave him a hard time about that. But, as we mentioned earlier in the podcast, we're less than 2 weeks away from National Signing Day. We've talked about who we think the next commit for Pop might be. Dave, I'm kind of in agreement with you. I think probably the candidate is Royce Newman. But I wouldn't be surprised if you saw a linebacker commit early. Keith Sims, perhaps. Ole Miss was in his house yesterday. Jaquan Ewley is another one. And I do think the thinking right now on the staff is that they want to take two linebackers. So that'll be something to watch. Everybody else, though, somebody could surprise us. But you're in on such top-tier talent, Michael, that, you know, you're really expecting most of the drama to play out on National Signing Day.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that you could see a guy like Newman commit, but almost everyone else is going to go right down to the wire, and it's going to be a stressful. The staff is definitely going to earn their vacation after National Signing Day because it's going to be high stress, a lot of work for them. It's going to be a lot of stress for us that are following Ole Miss recruiting. But you have guys like Simmons and Gary and Juarez and Anderson, all these guys who are announcing on signing day. And it's definitely going to be a fun time for all of us.
And when you mentioned that the staff has earned their vacation, I'm assuming you're talking about the Rebel 247 staff, right?
Exactly.
I tell you what, guys, I'm I'm in need of a day of sleep, and I'll get it on February the 4th, 5th, somewhere around there. And then I know you guys are looking forward to being able to exhale a little bit too. But I promise our subscribers one thing. We're not going to sleep until the sun sets on this recruiting class on February the 3rd. That's our pledge to you, and we're going to we'll keep the home fires burning. You check in whenever you want to. We will be there. I can assure you of that. Well, it's time for closing thoughts on this Rebel Rise Live podcast, and Dave, we'll go to you and then hand it off to Michael.
Well, you know, we can't say it enough. You know, thanking all of our new subscribers and all of our veterans on the message board for subscribing to Rebels 247 and making it possible for us to enjoy this, enjoy doing this for everyone. And, you know, like we've said, National Signing Day, it's just around the corner. It's getting excited. And one thing that I do want to add is, you know, with this weather, you know, if those forecasts turn out to be true and the roads get bad,
yeah,
or
yeah,
that way, everybody stays safe. Well, I'm just saying, if the forecast sticks, on a serious note, I hope everybody remains safe if they do have to get out on the roads.
Yeah, there's nothing like the disappointment in a school kid's eyes when the weatherman, they go to bed that night after watching the 10 o'clock news, and he's reported that you'll wake up to the North Pole the next morning and it's only raining. And, you know, not saying that's the case this time around, because everybody I've seen that's supposed to know what they're talking about says we're going to get hit. So we'll see about that. Michael, your closing thoughts?
I'd just like to preemptively put out there that if I'm anything less than a delight on tomorrow's podcast, it is strictly due to just anger and angst from all the cold weather. Whenever the weather gets below about 40 degrees, I'm pretty sure whenever I walk the dogs, I say every cuss word that's ever been invented. I maybe combine some. I make up a few. I'm not a big proponent of cold weather. So, yeah, if I seem like a little grumpy, that's the reasoning.
All right, and before we go, let's do five crazy questions with Dave Bevan, just to catch Dave Bevan off guard a little bit. All right. Now,
gotcha.
All right, Dave, if it snows tomorrow, will you go outside and play in the snow? Now, I'm not talking about with your kids. I'm talking about you. Will you go outside and play in the snow?
Hey, David, when you have five children, I think your mindset becomes in a kid-like fashion. So, yes, I wouldn't be shocked if I'm out there in the snow creating snow angels or you know, building my own snowman.
All right. SpongeBob SquarePants or Mickey Mouse?
Well, it's modern day. Going back to the kids, you pretty much have to watch what they watch, and you know, my son, he is an avid SpongeBob fan. My youngest daughter is as well, so it has kind of glued me into it.
That sounds logical. The top two songs on my iPod right now are the theme from Frozen and the show theme to SpongeBob SquarePants. So
see, you're getting there as well.
Absolutely. I'm with you 100%. All right. Now, is it too cold to eat ice cream when it snows?
No. No, it's never too cold for ice cream. I'm actually an avid ice cream. And I may sound weird saying this, but, you know, in the morning times for breakfast, I am a hot coffee and a bowl of ice cream. Does that sound weird?
Yes, it does.
Yep.
Michael, does that not sound weird?
No, I'm right there with you on that. That's outlandish.
Do you dip your ice cream sandwich into your hot coffee?
Oh, no.
Can?
No.
Don't, do
okay, don't
so
mix,
don't mix
it,
up,
it up, no.
Michael,
I guess it's
Michael,
just that hot and cold, you know, that going back and forth from that hot and cold. I don't know. I guess I am weird like that.
Run hot and cold. A lot of people do that. Michael, yeah. Crazy question number four. Ask Dave. I know you got one.
Oh, geez. So Dave, I was watching Nightline last night. But what do you think about making a murder? Do you think Stephen Avery's guilty, or you think that was just all a frame job?
I didn't get to watch Nightline last night, so yeah, you definitely caught me off guard on that one. I'll have to go back and watch it.
Does Ted Koppel still host that thing? Is that still hosted by Ted Koppel? Is he still alive?
Oh, I'm not sure. I was watching Jimmy Kimmel, and they got onto Making a Murderer, that Netflix series, and I was all on board after that.
Wow!
I've still got to watch that. When I go on Netflix, I see that pop up. I hear that it's a good documentary. I've got to watch it.
I'm more of a Bill O'Reilly guy. I watch Bill O'Reilly on Fox News at night. You know, I think a lot of people think he's probably a conservative. He probably leans more that way, but I think it's more honest commentary, so to speak. All right, Dave, here is my final crazy question for you.
Okay.
Are you ready? It's of a political nature.
Okay.
Who is going to be the next president of the United States? Not who you're endorsing, not who you want to win. Who do you think is going to win?
You know, I'm going with, you know, someone who can establish the economy. I think it's been for a while. You know, it's seen the economy needs to continue to grow. I'm not afraid to say my view. I am a Republican, and you know, if it's Donald Trump, I like his
hair
building
hair.
The
like
economy. Yeah, the hair. You know,
you got to start. I think any list with Trump, I mean, about the pros, it has to start with the hair.
Exactly. You know, back years ago, Huckabee ran. I really wish Huckabee could get into it. I just like Huckabee as a person. I like his
values. You realize he's an Arkansas fan.
Well, which Ole Miss fans are running for president? But I like his Christianity values is what I
Mitt Romney
what really
and Rick Perry. Romney and Perry both made it to Oxford, you know, have been to Oxford for football games, you know, so you've got that as far as Ole Miss goes. And now, and you know, Jeb Bush, poor Jeb Bush, when he allowed himself to be photographed ringing the cowbell during the Egg Bowl, I mean, I knew he
I remember that.
You know, I mean, that was, you know, somebody on his campaign staff should have said, now he did tweet Coach Freeze after the game, Jeb Bush did, and congratulate him on the victory and everything, and he hashtagged it hottie totty. But Jeb, somebody on your campaign should have said, if you're trying to win the state of Mississippi, it's okay to go to the biggest ball game of the year there, but you better not be photographed ringing a cowbell, in which he was. And you know, Jeb has some Texas roots. I don't think he'd go to College Station and throw up the hook 'em horns, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, I would have fired an advisor if I were Jeb Bush after that. But anyway,
now I could be wrong. I could be wrong, but did he not make that up with a photo in an Ole Miss shirt afterwards, or am I wrong on that?
He may have. I didn't see that. I know he did tweet Coach Freeze and congratulate him on the win with a hashtag hottie totty. So maybe he erased the damage that he did, but our very own photographer John Bowen snapped a pretty incriminating shot of Jeb ringing a cowbell at the Egg Bowl. So
can I step in with a peace offering here? Now, anyone who knows me knows that I am no fan of Trump whatsoever, but I can maybe get on board with his crazy train
if he does one thing. He always talks about how good he is at building walls. Can he build one between here and Oktibbeha County? Would that be possible at all?
An Oktibbeha County wall. No, that's not going to happen. You know, all of us in Mississippi, look, when it comes, the only differences we have in this state, major differences, honestly, is the Ole Miss state rivalry. I think that's the number one difference in the state. Other than that, I think we all get along swimmingly. Tori Kate disagrees with you on that, though. You hear her in the background, which probably
all
also
about Rubio.
Means. Yeah, okay, if you say so. He's a little too slick for me. But anyway, we don't delve into politics. We're only doing this half-heartedly, folks, so we're not trying to sway your vote or anything of that nature. And Donald Trump's hair, it really is a mess. But anyway, that's what he's noted for the hair. So we'll leave it at that. Well, the wheels have come off this very, very good podcast, and we apologize to Trey Stallings for that. We derail things here at the end, but it's always good to have a lot of fun. Listen, stay on the board all day long. There's a whole day worth of news coming at you. I promise you things are going to be hopping throughout the day. As Dave echoed earlier, we thank you all. We welcome all the new subscribers to the site, and we appreciate all of you who have been with us for a number of years. As Rebel 247 is excited to be your front row seat to the success of Hugh Freeze and this Ole Miss football program moving forward. Guys, that's going to do it today for Dave Bevin and Michael Quirk. I'm David Johnson, and as always, hotty toddy.